episode number 160. 160 episodes. 40 more to go to 200. Feels like just yesterday we got 100. And we have our college football playoff predictions, entire bracket. Last week you had our analysis for the first round games. We didn't give predictions. This time we have our predictions
shebang
for the entire bracket. Can't wait. In other news, we will do college football. The Giants are in disarray. The Jets suck at sucking.
Oh, yeah. They can't even lose right. They can't even lose right. So
can't even lose right. Yeah, well, we'll dive into the NFL. Great week of football it was. The Rangers are in absolute disarray right now.
Out of any of the New York sports teams right now,
they might be.
They're the worst spot. They have the worst.
Giants.
Well, okay.
The disaster going on with the Giants right now. Expectation
to disaster ratio right now. The Jets are the Jets, but the Rangers as of right now are going through some struggles.
That's true. And then baseball. Stove sort of cooled down, but nonetheless, Yankees go get Devin Williams. They trade Nestor Cortez and Caleb Durbin for Devin Williams. And Kyle Tucker is a Chicago Cub. Pretty shocking to say the least. I was sort of amazed when that trade went down, but then it sort of made more sense.
Yeah, because they want to get rid of Bellinger
as the rumor went on. But yeah, all right. So let's dive right into it. Starting off with college football, the first 12-team playoff. We're going to dive into it right away. We got so much to cover, but let's get it started. Ohio State, Indiana, Notre Dame. First ESPN broadcasted game at Notre Dame since 1991.
Kind of crazy.
That's when my mom graduated high school. Fun fact.
Wow. There you go.
30 years from the same high school, if you think about it. Me and Terrence and Terrence's mom and mom.
Wow, yeah. There you go. I didn't even think of that.
I'll be honest. I didn't think about that. I thought about that like last week.
Well, there you go. Generational.
I'm not kidding. Here we go. Notre Dame favored by 7.5. The total is at 51.5. Tim, do we have a bet for this one? Do we have? You obviously have a pick.
One of these teams has to win. Obviously, I don't know if I have a bet for this one. I think the more I think about it, and the more you bring up these ESPN stats, they haven't been in a nationally televised ESPN game in 30 years. They always crumble under pressure. I know Indiana's kind of getting in the hot seat from media-wise. People say they don't deserve to be here. I'm going to run with the underdog here, Stan. I feel like Indiana has everything. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and Notre Dame has a lot to lose. So I think they're going to play pretty free, pretty creative. They're not going to have too much stress under their belt. And I think Indiana gets the job done here, Stan. I really do. I think Indiana comes out on top. It's going to
You have Indiana winning.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. I know I flipped from last week. I know I said Notre Dame, but the more I think about it, the more I'm really like, there's a lot of pressure on this team. I'm back in Pearl River. My Notre Dame hate's really, really at a high. I'm riding with Indiana. They're going to take down Notre Dame and play Georgia in this quarterfinal matchup.
Tim, did I send you that? Did I send you that meme?
Which one?
The Notre Dame one. I think it was like, never ask a woman their age. Oh yeah. Never ask a woman her age, a man his salary, and never ask a Notre Dame fan what their connection to the school is.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sick of hearing this. Listen, Stan, the quicker they're out, the less I have to hear about them. Maybe it's a partial bias thing, but I'm honestly I like Indiana's chances. They're going to be playing free. They don't have a lot of pressure. So give me Indiana to win.
I'm going to go with the opposite. I'm going to go with Notre Dame to win and to cover. I feel like ever since the Northern Illinois loss, I feel like they've just been dominant. And I understand why are they at They're at 7, sorry. Some of them think that they shouldn't be in because of how bad the Northern Illinois loss was. I don't know. I just feel like that this just means more. And like, no pun intended with the SEC, but it kind of just means more. In-state rivalry, sort of. Indiana, I feel like Notre Dame wants to do what Ohio State wanted to do to Michigan, but they'll succeed. I feel like this run defense hasn't really faced a running back so dynamic like Jeremiah Love. And as we mentioned before on last week's episode, it was the number one rushing defense in Indiana against the number one rushing offense in Notre Dame. I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening. Yeah. And it's unfortunate because I like Cignetti. I like Indiana. I like the way Curtis Rourke's been throwing the football. But I think at the same time, I just think it comes down to the run. And I think that, again, no students. or yeah. a very limited bunch of students. But as we mentioned before, that crowd's going to be ruckus. It's going to be snowing. They're going to be running the football a lot. I think that this is Notre Dame's football game to lose. Give me the Irish.
The thing for me is if Indiana can stifle the run at all in the first half, mm-hmm. and it's going to go in, and you go in the locker room, now Notre Dame's rethinking their whole offensive plan. I think if they can get to them early and maybe just keep it low scoring the first half, low rushing, it could be Indiana's game to lose in the second half. So I'm going to take Indiana, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Next up, noon game on TNT in the Charst, that Notre Dame game's on Friday. This one's Saturday at noon. All day football. Can't wait. SMU taking on Penn State. Penn State favored by 8.5. Total is at 54. Tim, this is an interesting.
Give me Penn State 8.5. Listen, I love
now,
the SMU
listen,
train.
This is there's going to be some buzz to this game. They've been using the backup quarterback a lot. Or not a lot, but like sort of how. Remember how the Jets used Tebow?
Yeah.
And they sort of kind of just like threw him in there just to throw him off.
Well, yeah, that the way the Saints used Taysom Hill.
That is no more. Bo Pribula has entered the transfer portal, sort of a fucked up way. I don't think he really wanted to. I think the school that wanted him said, yeah, we'll give you this money, but if you're injured, no, bye-bye. So he was like, you know what? It's a stupid, I'll say this. This is a fucking, it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
The transfer portal should open when the playoff is over.
That's what I think, because it makes no sense. Especially,
there needs to be some, it's literally, again.
This isn't like sitting on a bowl game anymore, all right?
Yeah. I hate the whole like transfer portal NIL debate because one, I get PTSD from the professor that I got fired, just always trying to talk about it, and he gives like the worst takes. Number two, and more importantly, like who cares?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there needs to be some regulations here. The fact that there's free agency happening during the playoff is absurd.
I think down the road we'll see it. Obviously, NIL is new. I mean, it is new to us. It's new to them. They got to figure out rules and regulations. It's tough, especially now you bring a playoff format like this, and now you're going to have free agency start, or quote-unquote free agency start during this. I mean, it doesn't make sense, so I agree with you saying that. But at the same time, Stan, as much as I love SMU and I love what they've done all year, they deserve to be here record-wise. Penn State's a better football team, let's be honest. I mean,
I agree. I'm rolling with the Nittany Lions here to win. That's who I have in my bracket. I'm going to go with the over. I think the over is the play here. These two offenses are very dynamic. Drew Aller coming back. He is going to be returning next year. So that's actually big for Penn State. Bad for NFL teams in this quarterback draft class.
It's not great.
Leave it at that. We looked, let's take a look at some of the opt-outs. I don't think that there's much aside from Bo Pribula. We could look at the Notre Dame game as well. Jeremiah Love, Howard Cross, expected to play. Their star linebacker, Kingston Villamuasa, who played 262 snaps, is out. Indiana, their starting quarterback, Jameer Johnson, missed the regular season finale. He was the first defensive starter to miss a game with an injury this season. His status is in question. And their starting left guard, Drew Evans, is also out for the season after missing the final three games. We look at Penn State, transfer portal, backup quarterback Bo Pribula will not be with
the
team. Enter the transfer portal.
That's the injury report, is transfer portal is crazy.
True freshman Ethan Grunkemeyer will be the team's backup quarterback. We look at SMU. This was their starter going into the year. Everyone was big on him, Preston Stone. He ended up getting benched halfway through the year. He is staying with the team through the playoffs. He is likely to enter the transfer portal once SMU is out. Their stud wide receiver, RJ Maryland, out for the year. Same with Penn State starting right tackle, Anthony Dunko. But yet again, I like the over here. I think that these two offenses are very high powered. A lot of points to be scored here. We saw SMU give up a lot of points to Clemson, whose offense isn't really that dynamic. We saw Penn State's defense give up a lot of points against Oregon. I know weather could play into a factor here, but nonetheless, I like the over 51.5.
Take it.
I also have Penn State advancing. Next up, Clemson, Texas. Texas favored by 11.5, total set at 51.5. You can get some spots at 12. Tim, what do we think here? This one's tough.
Yeah, like, I'll admit,
this one's pretty
because
tough.
Because of how piss poor Texas' offense has been. And you know what? I heard some buzz, too. I don't know if this is really going to matter or affect this game at all, but UNC's now in on Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. So, yeah. So, one of the two. I don't know if there's any turmoil.
Part of me was sort of shocked that Arch didn't get a snap in the SEC championship game with the way that they've been using him as of late.
Yeah, I know. I think maybe they're trying to just fully transition to Quinn and have him be set for the playoffs. I want to say Clemson's going to win this game. I think it's going to be close, but just the firepower Texas has. They're five for a reason. I think they're going to win and move on. But I think this is going to be a really close game. I don't think this is going to be a blow-up by any means. It's the lowest ranked matchup one, but out of the two we talked before, I think this might be the closest out of the Indiana, Notre Dame, SMU, Penn State game. I think this might come down to like a field goal. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to have Texas moving on, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Some notable injuries. Nothing notable from the transfer portal. Texas does have a wide receiver that's in the portal. 114 snaps, though. Clemson does have three guys in the portal. A cornerback, Sherrod Covell, only 124 snaps. Wide receiver, Troy Salato. To you Giant fans, if that's familiar, that is DeVito's agent's son.
I did not know that.
He played 314 snaps. He's injured. Again, non-factors. The big injury, though, Texas stud left tackle Kelvin Banks Jr. did not play in the SEC championship game. His status is in question. I would keep an eye on that. But nonetheless, I'm going to go with the under here. I think
that's a good call.
The under's the play here because of how many, what the defense, it all comes down to the defense, but this the Texas offense is going to do. Clemson's defense is pretty good. It's the Clemson offense that I'm sort of worried about because when they played against teams with good defenses, when they played Georgia, they only put up 3 points. When they played South Carolina, they only put up 14. And then they got helped out by Syracuse beating Miami. Then they go on to win the ACC championship. But I think the under's the play here. And plus, Texas's offense, if Quinn Ewers is starting in this game, he does not look good.
No.
But at the same time, as I said before, I expect Clemson to keep it close. Like, as I said last week, if it's like 10-3, 10-7, Texas at halftime, you could sprinkle a little Clemson live. Sprinkle it a little bit. Clemson live. But other than that, I don't really see much happening here. I have Texas advancing. It's a fun story with Dabo right now, but
it's always fun when Dabo's in the playoffs.
It's always great when Dabo Sweeney's in the playoff. The last first round game, Ohio State, Tennessee. Ohio State favored by 7.5. Total is at 46.5, the lowest total of the bunch. What do we think here? Bets, picks, who do we got?
I don't know. Like, the thing with Ohio State is we've been saying this all year is they should be a lot better than they are. And realistically, if you look back in the start of the season, you wouldn't have them at 8 here. I mean, no one would.
Yes.
So this is kind of a weird situation for them. Obviously, the locker room, I would imagine they're definitely like, listen, we're here. We made it no matter what. Like, let's go and prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a lot of firepower. I don't love their head coaching, obviously. I mean, I think they've gone after the year. Yeah. I think Ohio State wins this game. I don't know if it's going to be close. I think this might be a statement game for them. I think they're going to come out flying. I think they really want to prove a point that they're a good football team. And you know, the only issue with that is, you know, you got a tough matchup next round regardless. But I think Ohio State's going to win this game. I don't know how, but I don't know if the score is going to be. I just know they're going to come out blazing. And if I'm going to take any bet, I would take their first half spread. Because I think the first half, really, they're going to show out. They're going to have their foot on the gas pedal and they're going to balls to the wall.
Some notable injuries. Everyone in the portal for both teams aren't really of that much importance. I will say, though, Devin Brown, the backup quarterback for Ohio State, is in the portal, but he's going to stay with the team through the playoff. Injuries. Ohio State left tackle Josh Simmons is out for the year and declared for the NFL draft after week 7. And same with star center Seth McLaughlin, who last played in week 12. Tennessee also has some wide receiver injuries. Brew McCoy missed the finale with a hamstring injury, and Dante Thornton also got a bit beat up during that game as well, but sources are saying that they are expected to play on Saturday night. This game could go one or two ways. I think both these teams are very high powered. I mentioned that Tennessee is a lot of raw talent. We know the talent on Ohio State as well, but I can also see this being a very low scoring game. It's the lowest total of the bunch. We've seen Ohio State's offense stall, go blank. We've seen Tennessee's offense go blank. I'm going to take the Volunteers to cover.
What are they
in regards to who's winning this game? Something's telling me Ohio State.
I think it's hard.
I expect Tennessee to cover. Ohio State advancing. I just think that, again, the talent, I think Iamaliava, raw talent.
And I
don't think he's...
Yeah, I also think, again, they have a point to prove now because the media has been all over them. You can't shy away from that. They definitely heard the media noise. So I think right now, they got a point to prove, and I think they're going to show out and prove it in the first round. Do I think they prove it in the quarterfinals? No, but I'm talking about first round here, so.
Okay. Okay, so we have our first round games predicted. I think we each have the same group of guys. Actually, no.
I have Indiana.
You have Indiana.
That's the only other one.
So.
But it doesn't matter. You want me to say it now? They're losing to Georgia, so.
Well, okay, yeah, they're going to lose to Georgia. So you have Indiana taking on Georgia. I have Notre Dame taking on Georgia. We each have Penn State taking on Boise, Texas taking on ASU, and Ohio State taking on Oregon. Let's start off with the easy one, Indiana, Georgia. For you,
Georgia. It's Georgia. And I think the same thing with Notre Dame and Georgia. I still think it's Georgia. Georgia's just the better all around.
Notre Dame, Georgia could be closer than you think. It depends on who's starting a quarterback. If it's Gunnar Stockton, then Notre Dame has a chance. And I'd say the same thing with Indiana, too. If Gunnar Stockton's at a quarterback, we haven't really seen what this guy has done with full preparation, full game. They kind of just threw him out there and we saw what happened. But I really think whoever's playing Georgia might be closer than you think.
I could see maybe in the Notre Dame sense. I think Indiana, for me, again, with the best run defense, you know, they're going to show out. They're going to make it a close game with Notre Dame. And right, you're saying Georgia with a, you know, rookie quarterback. Isn't he a five-star? I mean, it's tough with these.
I know, but still.
Like, I know. We talk big stage.
Yeah.
But think about it. They got some time to really let him game plan and figure it out in practice.
That's
they got a bye here, so they got some time to let him settle in. I think there's really going to be no pressure on him. Again, you're a backup quarterback, so, like, you know. Like, that's your excuse, right? It's going in. You're just like, you know what? I can go out and have fun.
I wouldn't think that there's an excuse here. They want – it's Georgia, man. It's SEC football. You want
– yeah,
you're expected
okay.
to win these games.
I get that. And I'm expecting them to beat Indiana. I think, again, with the Indiana, like I said, they don't have any pressure. They can play free, especially against Notre Dame. But once you win a game in the playoffs, then the wheels start moving and you're like, listen, we're a good team. We can compete with anyone. There's a little more stress on you, a little more pressure. I think Georgia just has the upper hand. One, they're ranked number two. They have a much better defense. Their offense throughout the year is better. I know you're bringing out, you know, they have a backup quarterback in, but it's a matter of they're the Georgia Bulldogs. They're going to play hard. They're going to make a problem for Indiana, for me. So I have Georgia winning. I also have Georgia covering whatever that spread's going to be. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to take that.
The Notre Dame game is going to be closer than people think if they do play Georgia. But I will say Georgia's going to win that game in advance. I just think
it's Georgia.
But then again, you also have to put into account Notre Dame, big stage, doesn't really go well.
They always fail.
They always fall short.
And also, you got to think, I mean, the bye may help, it may hurt, but it also, I mean, think of who can get banged up in this first game. You know, injuries alone. I mean, you get a whole week of rest. That is true. So
let's get the obvious ones out of the way. Penn State, Boise State.
Penn State. Yeah.
I feel like Penn State is the easiest path.
They do.
And then Texas, Arizona State. I think Arizona State's a great story. They have a great head coach.
They're not winning.
Gattabo's a great story as well, but Texas, again.
It's Texas.
All right, let's get to the big one. Ohio State, Oregon.
It's Oregon. It's always been Oregon, and you can't tell me it's not. With the way they play, they could keep games close all you want, right? It could be like a touchdown score, but you never really feel like they're going to take that next step and be like, oh, we're going to win this game. I know they've had some close scares. The Boise State game obviously was close. I know, again, the Ohio State game was close, came down to the last play, but when I was watching those games, it was always just, you know what?
Here's your advantage, though. Those are two playoff teams.
Exactly. And that's my thing is those games were close, but I always felt like Oregon was going to come out on top. They have one of the best offenses in the country. Dan Lanning has had the best net offense in college football since he's joined Oregon. So, I mean, he's been phenomenal what he's doing. The defense has stepped up this year. They have weapons. Dylan Gabriel's been fantastic. I know people are like, oh, you know, he was a bullshit Heisman vote, whatever. Dude, his completion percentage is fantastic. One Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. I know he's on a great football team, but this guy's a good quarterback. They check all the boxes, and they have better head coaching. Dan Lanning is one of, if not the best head coach in college football in my eyes. So I know I'm an Oregon fan, and that may be biased, but you know he's getting looks from the NFL for a reason. Let's be honest here. So I'm taking Oregon.
Oregon winning that game as well. Yeah. I have him going to the semifinal, going to the Rose Bowl. I believe that's what it is. Or no, I think.
I don't even know anymore.
I can't follow.
I don't know.
I know it's so
the Pop Tart Bowl. Who's Miami's in that?
Yeah, that's actually gonna be a pretty good game.
Miami, the memes on that are so funny though. They just put a bunch of Pop Tarts in players' lockers in the NFL that went to Miami. It's like, oh, good luck in the Pop Tart Bowl.
Good luck in the Pop Tart. They have playoff aspirations. Now they're going to the freaking Pop Tart Bowl. So that leaves our two semifinal games, Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Georgia. Which one do you want to start with?
I'll go Penn State, Georgia, because, I mean, you might agree with me, but, and you said this earlier in the year, I think Penn State wins this game. I think Penn State's moving on. This is a year that we have seen a lot of shakeups. SMU's in the playoffs. Arizona State's got to buy. Boise State's got to buy. A lot of things unprecedented happened. Alabama didn't make the playoffs. It's like the first time ever for anyone who's watched college football. So, I mean, things happen.
Playoff 2 years ago, Tim.
Yeah, Stan. I mean, come on. Alabama's always in the playoffs, though. That's my point. I get it. You know what I'm saying. There's a lot of unprecedented things that happen, and a 6-2, I kind of like this Penn State run. You had me bought in the start of the year. I mean, you were all over them.
I was all in. Because I saw what Drew Aller was doing. I was like, holy shit, this is a completely different quarterback that I'm seeing. And I was buying in, and then the Ohio State game happened.
Right,
and
okay.
I was like, oh, there it goes.
Teams fall short at some point, but...
There it goes.
If they can
but
get
again,
the...
I feel like it's Franklin. It's Franklin in a big spot against a Power 4 team. I don't think it can happen. I have Georgia moving on in the national championship game.
All right.
Sucks, but I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening.
I think it's going to be a close game.
That game against Ohio State, they go up 10-0. I'm like, here we go. Like, this is it. And then went downhill from there.
The thing for me, too, is like you said, they have an easy run to get to the – semifinal. I mean, we haven't really seen Genty play a whole game yet, obviously, other than Oregon. That game was close.
Yeah. That game,
so we'll see what happened there. But if we say they have an easy run and they blow out SMU and say they pummel Boise State and they really don't have to give too much effort with their starters going in, and now they're kind of, you know, amped up.
They're
and
all well rested,
I mean, then you have against a Georgia team who's, again, Indiana might be a different story, but with Notre Dame, it could be a tougher matchup. So I think Penn State really has the juices flowing for them right now. And that easy, I think the easy path is going to help them more than if they had to, you know, obviously if they had to go down a dark road, like playing Ohio State and Oregon, you know what I mean? So I have them moving on.
I would lose sleep over an Oregon-Texas matchup. I know who you have.
Yeah, it's Oregon.
But I think that this one's tough because I know how good Texas can be.
But are they?
I know how good they can be. We've seen, but every big game that they've played this year, I've been left wanting more.
Right, and the thing for me here, especially, is what we brought up earlier, is how their offense has been struggling. Oregon's offense doesn't struggle. They're going to score. They usually score on their first drive if you watch a lot of their games. So they're going to come out with they're going to come out running with the wheels moving. I think it's going to be hard if they have to play catch. If Texas has to play catch up, do you really see them having a shot?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I can see the talent. I can see Ewers sort of taking a leap. But what if they pull like a Tua? And Tua Jalen Hurts thing. And then Arch comes in and lights it up. Like,
Yeah, but again, it's like you say Ewers takes that next step. Arch can take the next step. Dylan Gabriel's very, very, obviously the next step for him is like NFL quarterback, but he's very much well suited. He could take a next step too and throw for 500 passing yards. So there's a lot of things that go into it. But I the head coaching with Dan Lanning, the offensive firepower Oregon has, and their defense has been solid this year. So I see them moving on. I mean, they're winning the national championship in my eyes. I mean, let's put that, it's just, you know, put that to rest right now. But yeah, I know you're going to say Texas is moving on, but I got Oregon moving.
Like, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, that's, well, I hate this. I'm going to go with Texas. I think Texas wins this game. I'm sorry, Tim.
It's fair.
I think Texas wins it. I have a Texas-Georgia national championship. You have an Oregon-Georgia national championship.
Oregon-Penn State. We have different winners because I'm going to assume you're taking Georgia and I'm taking Oregon. So
hard to beat a team three times, Tim. I'm going horns up.
Texas
national championship.
Ooh, all right.
I just think it's hard to beat a team three times. We've seen it so many times before in a lot of different sports, time and time again. I just think that this is going to be the biggest stage. I feel like Texas, first year in the SEC, they want to prove a point. Not saying that Georgia is just going to lay down and die.
Well,
but
Oregon, first year in the Big Ten. I mean, are they not trying to prove a point? That's my...
I know. But I just think it's just what I think. I know. I can't let go of Texas. I don't know what it is. For some reason, I just cannot let go of Texas.
I
always think that they're going to fucking win something. And then all of a sudden, now I have Texas winning the fucking national championship. But I don't know. I just think that the path is easy. And I think it's like the same thing with you and Penn State.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of they're going to not necessarily dominate Clemson, but they're going to have their way with Clemson. Dabo against top five opponents has not done well as of late. They're going to dominate Arizona State, just talent-wise. Oregon, we know their track record in big games, no offense. But
wow, okay, yeah, before they're in the Big Ten. That's Pac-12, Oregon.
Yeah, but that was against Penn State, who's James Franklin's notorious for losing the big one. And I don't know.
For me, every challenge Texas has faced this year, which has really just been Georgia, they've lost. They haven't really won any big games.
But again, it's hard to beat a team three times. Well, it's hard, I'm taking an 0-2 every time. If a team is 0-2 against someone, I'm taking them the third time.
It's hard. It's hard for me to take a team that beat Vanderbilt by 3 to beat Georgia.
Vanderbilt's good.
They're not, though. If they were good, they'd have recognition. I know they beat Bama, by all means.
They're going to a bowl game this year, Ted.
It doesn't matter anymore with a 12-team playoff. It doesn't. Bowl games are meaningless.
Bowl games
are meaningless. We know that. This was the argument going to 2 years ago if they bring a 12-team playoff.
Breaking news.
Bellinger got traded. What was it?
Cody Bellinger has been traded from the Chicago Cubs to the New York Yankees. Sources tell Jeff Passan. Bellinger, 29, is a former MVP and has 2 years remaining on his contract with an opt-out after 2025. Yankees continue to be aggressive post Juan Soto.
This could
be fun.
Good or a bad thing. We'll see what happens.
I feel like this, again, you could have told me this was going to happen in 2021 and I would have believed you.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been talking about this. So
we'll go into it further
with the Vanderbilt thing, is we've been talking about this for 2 years with this 12-team playoffs. Because there's a 12-team playoffs, bowl games are meaningless now. They're meaningless.
A 6-win Vanderbilt team is good in their eyes. And to be honest, Pavi is a good quarterback. So.
But cut it close to a team like that, and then I know Texas A&M, you put up 17. Here's the thing.
Everyone's 0-0 now.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone's 0-0 now.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, if Oregon doesn't win and Texas doesn't win, are we rooting for Arizona State? Hypothetically, something crazy happens. We want Arizona State to take this off.
I got Nittany Lion fever, man. Al's back next year. Come on now.
Fair enough.
Bellinger's a Yankee.
Oh, we knew that. I mean,
everyone knew that. But I just want to know who we gave up.
Well, that's kind of what I want to see. And you took on his full contract, I'm assuming.
Let's see. Oh, wow. It's a 1-for-1 trade. Holy shit.
What is it?
Yankees get Cody Bellinger. Cubs get Cody Poteet.
They really want to get rid of that deal. Jesus.
Yeah. Good God. I mean, I'm assuming we're taking on the whole contract.
I would imagine if it's a 1-for-1.
This is another Yankees-Cubs trade. I feel like we've been trading a lot with the Cubs.
Hey, you're making a lot of moves. Can the Mets just sign Pete Alonso? Can we just get this done and over with?
We'll get to baseball. Let's go to the NFL. The Giants suck, man. This is bad. This is rock bottom.
At least you can lose.
It's funny because I watched the Raiders last night, and you could just tell that they were actively trying to lose. It's so obvious.
I don't think the Giants are.
No, it's just funnier because the Giants look like that they're trying to win games.
You got guys
they're just so terrible.
Laying on the field, sweating. They're putting their everything they got into it. And they're just getting smoked.
They're actively, they look like that they're trying to win. And that's the sad part.
Yeah, they're a train wreck right now.
DeVito's hurt.
Oh my God. What were they going to put in? Drew Lock in a, Timmy throws Boyle. They had Drew Lock as the backup in an air cast.
He looked good.
Yeah, he looked good because.
It's crazy how NFL bat Tim Boyle threw one touchdown at UConn, and then now he's a 6-year veteran.
He had the worst college stats ever. He had the worst college stats. He had a 55% completion percentage, and he started for the Jets and the Giants now. So
that
man
just loves him. I don't understand it. There's a lot of things going on with the organization, sort of blocking out other people and how they feel. I'll say it right now. And I've been a Joe Shane guy. I've been a Dable guy. Yeah, they gotta go.
Gotta clear house. I think the Jets and the Giants, Jets already are, but the Jets
already cleared house.
There's no much more clearing they could do, but.
Yeah, they already cleared house, but I just think that the Giants just need a hard reset. And what scares me is I'm afraid of who John Mara is gonna hire. I don't think the head coach is gonna be an issue because.
There's options.
I very preferably would like someone from the Sean McVay coaching tree.
I want Vrabel so badly.
I mean, that's the thing. I want someone from the McVay coaching tree, preferably Mike LaFleur. Oh my God, that'd be a home run.
Dan Lanning.
What if the Jets get Lanning?
There's no way. You think Woody Johnson's? Did you see Twitter going crazy the other day? They're going crazy that Trump didn't appoint Woody Johnson to his cabinet, and the Jets fans were like, "Are you kidding me?"
That's what Ice Dog tweeted.
I know, but he didn't know. It was confirmed that he wasn't appointed, and he wasn't going to be in bat. And it was so funny because all Jets fans go, "Are you kidding me? We prayed for this day."
I still don't like. I'll say it. I'm not impressed with this Yankee lineup.
No, I'm not either. They got to make some more moves. Christian Walker, I think, is the next guy up. I'm going to be honest with you.
Honestly, I think Christian Walker goes to Washington. Washington's going to be a sneaky team.
Yeah, they have so many young guys, but...
Very sneaky team. They just tweeted a potential lineup for the Yankees, and I'm like, sort of. I'm like, eh.
Well, we'll run down it in a second. Let's go to the potential Giants lineup for next year. Who are you going to take with this pick? Do you want Cam? I don't even know.
I think it's going to be... I've been Shador since...
I don't think he wants to go there. And I think they made it...
Too bad.
I think that...
Well, you saw Shador Sanders having a catch with Malik Nabers in the middle of Times Square. Come on now.
All right. But I think Dion made it very clear he wants him to be a Raider, right?
Who cares? I really don't care.
Eli Sad.
I think Cam Ward's going to get someone fired. I've said that numerous times.
I don't
think Cam Ward is just like trying to like make a play and survive everything. And I've seen at least three times this year where he's thrown the ball across his body and given
it. It's only good in the fourth quarter. It's crazy.
Yeah. And plus, Miami wasn't that good.
Yeah, I know. Well, they were not that good. Right now, you're slotted to number two, right? Strength of schedule goes to...
I believe so. I think a lot of different websites, like Tankathon is saying that the Giants are second because the Raiders have the easier schedule.
Yeah, I think that's
they have the easier schedule. I've seen NFL.com basically, and I've seen everybody else, like NFL.com, ESPN, have the Giants at one for mock drafts. So I don't know who's going to get number one, but what is, I am a big Raider fan tomorrow. I am a diehard Raider, not tomorrow. Diehard Raider fan on Sunday.
Let's go. Let's go Raiders.
They're favored.
Well,
they're favored against the Jaguars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Carolina was favored this week. Look how that turned out. So
I know, but yeah,
that was the first time I think they were favored since like 2020. By the way,
that's absurd.
Like it was crazy.
Probably. Nah, I wouldn't say since
maybe 21.
Since when they had Darnold.
22.
When Darnold started off 3-0, they had. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's been a while though. And
it has been a while.
Panthers fans are happy, and they just did not play well.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm a big Raider fan on Sunday. Huge Raider fan.
There's a lot of, well, I hope the Raiders win too. Then the Jets bump up, don't they?
Then the Jets bump up, yeah. Speaking of the Jets, that Aaron Rodgers documentary is out.
Do I want to watch that? Speaking of the Jets, so the 30 for 30 for the New York Sack Exchange was out.
Well, we already talked about it. But
yeah, but I rewatched it again.
You rewatched it?
I was watching it with my dad. Gaston was crazy, bro.
He's a sicko.
He's insane. Klecko's a dog, though. Klecko,
yeah, Klecko's a little bit of an ass as well.
They all had a little snarl to him, but Gaston was a maniac.
Yeah, so the Giants suck. Shane and Dable both got to go.
Jets are in a weird spot.
It's just the roster construction has just been so terrible, and I just feel like, I don't know, I think we're living off of Josh Allen right now.
It's for both of us.
Josh Allen. I know, it's so bad. I can't even fathom. I can't fathom right now. And with the plane too, you saw that?
Oh my God, two of them flying over.
Yeah, second week in a row that we had a plane fly over the stadium with a message. And it's like, I feel like I'm watching the WWE. Like
It's getting out of hand. It's funny because the Jets would be getting more of this if the Giants weren't so bad.
Yeah, like honestly.
But we're used to it. I mean, it's been 14 years.
I mean, do you have like a little, like, it looks like Aaron's like 100% healthy.
He's coming back. I don't know why, but he's going to end up coming back.
He's going to come back.
And it's.
You think so?
Yeah. That was Olbrich's first win as a head coach, by the way, last week.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, they haven't won a game since he was a head coach. That was his first win.
My God.
So it's really been bad.
Let's go around the league. Tua fucking sucks.
Awful.
Can we stop with him?
Awful.
They fired Brian Flores because he was too mean to Tua.
Exactly.
And then they bring this fucking McDaniel guy.
He's got to go. He has to go. If you're a Dolphins fan, he's got to be out the door. He's horrible. He had two good schemes, right, for 2 years. All these motions, everything. People figure it out.
Yeah, it's easy to figure out.
Yeah.
It's very easy to. And the thing with the. And it's like the thing with Tua. He's getting more excuses than Daniel Jones got when he was with the Giants. It's like, oh, if it's 80 degrees and if it's outdoors and if it's against a team that sucks.
Weather shouldn't implicate, like.
Like, what are we doing here? Stop it. He fucking blows. You throw a two, like,
He's throwing muffins, aware. By the way. He killed his receiver this week.
He saved my first half spread with the Houston Texans.
Who got
hurt?
That
interception. I forget what his name
was. What was that? It was a suicide ball. He threw it over the middle with a safety dropping down. What are you doing?
That was very bad.
Is there an update on him? They took him to a local hospital. I haven't heard much about him.
There was a Schefter tweet about it when we started recording, but they placed him on IR. There's Grant Dubose was his name. The corresponding moves for him were Isaiah McKenzie and Skylar Thompson to the practice squad. That's really it. I just saw something funny as well. This might be a locker room cancer right now, this Bellinger trade.
For what? Oh, isn't Stanton's or whatever that is?
Cody Bellinger's wife is Giancarlo Stanton's ex-girlfriend. And now, they still need more. They still need more. I think the offseason right now is great. They can't just stop here.
Yeah. Well,
need more bullpen arms. Need more bullpen arms.
Well, this
need
is a perfect. Let's just segue into baseball because the Jets and Giants.
Well, we
got to
talk more about that. Patrick Mahomes is hurt.
Barely, though. I mean, come on. Let me back. Plus, they have MVP Carson Wentz as a backup. I mean, what do we. Come on.
Yeah, true.
I still think he has a job in the NFL. I mean, am I wrong? I think Carson Wentz can be a quarterback.
The script here is funny because
he can pull a Nick Foles.
Yeah, he could pull a Nick Foles.
Like, it'd be hilarious. Their offense is better with him in. That would be nuts.
Like,
if they
high
start...
ankle sprains are difficult here.
Yeah,
like, they're difficult to come back from.
Everything with Mahomes is milked. Every injury he's ever had is milked. He's tissue paper soft. Every time he gets tackled, he throws his arms up, complains he's injured, and then he comes back two drives later like it was like a bruise on his knee.
We got $5 million, the Yankees.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But,
we got $5 million off of that.
No, I mean, like, I think he is tissue paper soft, and I think he's sort of milking. It's probably the most mild high ankle sprain ever. Like, every time he gets hurt, Stan, he just comes back, and they're like, oh, he's playing through injury, he's so tough. And it's just like, the injury doesn't exist, because it doesn't exist, because he's not hurt. Because the play he got hurt on was like a fluke injury, he just rolled his ankle. So, I think he'll be back. I'm not worried about that at all.
We'll see. I don't know. Some games got flexed, too, which I...
That Detroit game was nuts, by the way.
Yeah, Dan Campbell, what are you doing?
You know what? You live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're going to do it, you do it.
I feel like this was too much. And I defended him in the NFC Championship game, because I'm like, yeah, that's his MO, but like... Onside kick with like 8 minutes left.
It was like 12.
12?
It was like crazy. I think it was it was like 9. It was nuts.
Like, I get it. I get it. But like the thing is, it's not what it used to be. The onside kick is not what it used to be. Like if he were to do that and it was like a blitz attack thing, like it worked. It would have worked out. But the fact that they have to announce that they're going for an onside kick, like, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Josh Allen's unbelievable.
Shout out Jared Goff, though. Gave me 58 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the semifinal. If I win, I get money, which is pretty big.
There you go.
Can't wait for that. But I'm going up against Jahmyr Gibbs, who is now the lead back. And again, the Lions. Montgomery's out for the year. A lot of guys out for the year.
For them, it's tough. Their defense is
so beat up. But they're still the favorites.
Yeah,
they're still the favorites.
They're a hell of an offensive team. Their defense is banged up, though. If they had Aiden Hutchinson, come on.
There was a stat that I saw about the Bills where it's just like, I believe it was, can you hear me good?
You're good, you're good. You're good, you're good. No, you're good. Well, I can hear your mic fine. The thing about the Bills for me, though, like.
Well, because I pulled up something and then Twitter sort of popped in and now I'm like connected to my phone and it's a disaster. Oh my goodness. Oh my God.
Turn the Bluetooth off on your phone. We good.
That's what I'm doing. I think with this recipe that they're doing, it's not how you win Super Bowls.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. They've scored 30 plus points in 8 games in a row, which is very difficult to do in this league with the quarterback.
The Bengals with a better defense, but the Bengals, the same system. It just isn't going to work. Like,
yeah, the last three teams to do it, the 2000 Rams lost in the Super Bowl, the 2007 Patriots lost in the Super Bowl, the 2010 Patriots, I don't think they even made the Super Bowl in 2010.
They lost to the Jets.
Lost to the Jets, and the 2013 Broncos, who got mollywopped in the Super Bowl by the Seahawks. Or 2013, did I say Seahawks?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
2013 Broncos, who got mollywopped by the Seahawks. So I think right now, there isn't really... I don't know. It's just not how you win games.
I don't think
especially in the playoffs. Especially now you're going to go, you could possibly go up against the Chiefs, who have been sneaking out wins.
With
like
a great defense.
Nothing, with a great defense. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see, but I don't know. I just don't see.
They're just shootouts against every team. It's a shootout, it's a shootout. They live and die by Josh Allen. For me, he's been phenomenal, but by all means, he's been fantastic. But for them, it's if he makes two little mistakes, Stan, against in a playoff game, against, and then you can't really make it up on the defensive side of the ball. It's like, what do you, you know, like, mm-hmm. he does have an interception history. If he can get a little shaken up back there and start throwing mallards, it's, I don't know.
That is true. Should we go baseball then? Yeah, hockey?
We can go baseball.
Because a tweet about that players only meeting from the Rangers.
Oh, you want to go hockey first? Because this is
not
good...
true. That's not true.
Oh, really?
Apparently, it's not true for sources familiar with the situation.
I'm like not really believing anything that's coming out of this right now because I don't know what the hell is going on with them.
Okay, let's do baseball first. Let's start off with Dev. Actually, let's talk about Bellinger. It literally just happened. Cody Bellinger is a New York Yankee. Yankees get Bellinger and $5 million for Cody Petit. Petit, pretty from when we had him. Like, he got hurt towards the end of the year and then sort of kind of trickled out. They used him as a big piece in the spring, or used him as a starter, like doubleheader, got the extra man. He was always the extra guy. I think the Cubs got a pretty decent pitcher out of that. And then, let's talk about the important one, Cody Bellinger. Probably going to be our opening day first baseman.
Yeah, I would imagine. I don't know.
Because now you have an outfield. So I saw the potential lineup, and it's very disgusting. I'm still like not a fan here.
You
like,
gotta that's get sort some of more pieces.
Yeah, they need to add more pieces.
You still have that problem with the bottom half of the lineup being awful.
That's the thing. Like they need and we can go into further.
You
about
need.
This.
You know what? This is crazy to say. If you got like Jose Iglesias. Like, that would be great for you guys. That'd be great. That'd be great.
We go from the Soto Shuffle remix to the fucking OMG.
Yeah. It's not happening, but...
It will never happen. It absolutely will never happen.
Take Brett Beatty off our hands, please.
Absolutely not.
He's a AAA merchant, dude. He rakes in AAA.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, they're not done, but...
What's left?
That like where do you? I'm assuming that they're going to put Bellinger in the outfield.
So then you get a first baseman.
The fact that right now your first baseman's Oswaldo Cabrera.
Oof. Not good.
Not good. So then that would probably leave an outfield. They're probably going to put Judge back in right.
Yeah.
Bellinger in center. And then you got to put Dominguez in left, which
that's
again,
like the worst
like,
field. That's worse than last year's fielding.
I'm not big on Dominguez in left field. Maybe we put Dominguez in center, then Bellinger in left. I don't know what's going to happen. But
well, what's left
to
make? I mean, do you? Because I'm hearing rumbling now that the Red Sox are willing to move Devers to first. Devers to first to get Arenado, which I'm hearing some rumors about. But are the
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. But
I'd love that.
Are the Yankees going to be on an Arenado? Is Arenado going to play first base? I don't know really what the next step is. I feel like Christian Walker would have been the best pickup possible. I don't know if he wanted to be a Yankee, but if you threw money at him, that's a hell of a first baseman with a great glove, great bat. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm just like reading shit because I just...
Santander, maybe?
Maybe. A lot of Santander to the Yankee smoke that I'm seeing, but like that wouldn't make much sense.
No sense at all. You trade Stanton, but how does that happen? And
you could play I think they're going to play Santander in the field if they get him. But like that I can't imagine.
Worse fielding.
Again, I think it's like a fans with sources like smoke here that they're just like, oh, because everyone, ooh,
they're in on everyone.
Started following the Yankees.
They're in on everyone.
Instagram. Like, I mean, I wouldn't mind him.
Nah, I mean, who would?
Yankees need a switch hitter, but like, again, I feel like that could be like,
where does
impossible.
He fit, right? Well, okay, now let me ask you this. Does Jazz go back to the outfield? Did you see that happening? Okay.
I don't think. They weren't too keen on him in the outfield. I think that they only threw him in the outfield for one game, and it was like the first day that they had him. And then they were just like, and then he was just stuck at third base.
Wow.
And then, oh, here we go. We got money options. Of the $5 million that the Cubs are sending to the Yankees, $2.5 million will cover this season's salary. The remaining $2.5 million will either cover the buyout if he doesn't exercise his player option for 26 or Bellinger's 2026 salary if he does.
What is he making, though? Like 20-something?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I mean, it's
Which
not
I'm
bad.
Fine with. Yeah. I'm fine with it.
You could take it on. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. I just want Christian Walker. And I know that there's a lot of people that want Carlos Santana.
Why?
Why? I'm not, like, I get it, switch hitter, Yankee Stadium.
Forget the value of switch hitting anymore.
I like Christian Walker. Yeah. I just like the guy. I think he's a good power bat to have.
Yeah, and also, for me, the switch hitting value nowadays is, like, if you're good on one side of the plate, just stay there. Because everyone can hit everyone now. It's not like, oh, we're bunting down the third baseline, but you're still trying to hit. Like, I don't know. Value for switch hitters slowly decreasing MLB in my eyes, especially when you're looking for more power bats. So...
Actually, no. Yankees are on the hook for 25. I don't know. We have to see. I don't know.
It's like I said, this is probably going to be the craziest offseason we've had in a long time.
He's such a hit or miss player. But yeah. I don't know. I think he's our center fielder. We go get Walker, put him at first base. I am more than okay with.
At least then your lineup's pretty good up and down.
That's a good lineup.
Yeah. On the Mets side of things, just bring guys back. Just sign Alonso. Sign Manaea.
Yeah.
Go get another. I mean, they're in on. Here.
According to Bob Nightingale, Cody Bellinger was told that he will be playing center field for the Yankees, sliding Aaron Judge back to right field.
There you go. Confirmed.
So.
For now. We'll see how that
goes. Dominguez left. I mean, yeah, we'll see, but I don't know. So then what are they going to do with Dominguez? Like, what's the point?
Is he trade piece now?
I don't know. I don't know.
There's a lot of question marks in Yankee land right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there is.
But on the Mets, again, we go to Queens, Stan. We got a bunch of guys that need to get re-signed. And then I'm hearing rumbling about Luis Castillo possibly being a Mets option, which I love.
Yes, that is a Met option from what I've heard. According to Rosenthal, the Mets, the Cubs, the Red Sox, and the Orioles are inquiring on Luis Castillo.
He makes nothing. I would love that.
That is true. That would be a pretty pretty good get. And then let's talk about this Kyle Tucker trade. Kyle Tucker is now a Chicago Cub, and this could go one or two ways. This could turn the Cubs into one of the best teams in the Central, very wide open division. Although I feel like every time the Brewers make a trade, and everyone's like, they're done.
They're not done. Come again. They're back.
So you have this team with, like it or not, one of the best managers in baseball. Again, I didn't really... When that move happened, when he left the Brewers to go to Chicago, I was like, does he really warrant that much money?
Well,
Am I just like naive to the market where it's like... the small market of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I'm just like, oh, whatever.
All these small markets you see. All these guys.
Yeah, like, am I just like naive to it? But whatever. The Cubs' potential lineup now: Ian Happ, Dansby Swanson, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, Michael Bush, Nico Horner, Pete Crow Armstrong, Matt Shaw at third, and Miguel Amaya.
Santander fits in as a DH for a
like
power.
A glove.
Like a glove. They need a power bat. That's the guy.
Like a glove. They need a power bat. I mean, Tucker can be your power bat.
But you need two.
The trade summary here: Cubs get Kyle Tucker. The Astros get Isak Paredes, Cam Smith, and a former Yankee farmhand, Hayden Wesneski.
What a deal by Chicago. Kyle Tucker's unbelievable.
I know, but this could be for 1 year of Kyle Tucker, and this could be very familiar to Soto.
Could be, or...
I'm gonna say it. I think the Astros won the trade. Well, as much as I hate to say, I think Isak Paredes, he's perfect for the Crawford boxes, number one. Like, that...
Yeah.
I think that, like, if all of his home runs were in Houston, I think he would have had like 45 home runs, something like that. Number two, I'm shocked that Seiya Suzuki's not a part of this deal.
Me too.
I thought he was going to go. I thought he was going to go as well.
I don't think
they
want him
a lot. I don't think so. I don't think that they want him either. I don't know. I'm sort of. I don't know what to feel. Like, again, it just feels so weird that this is.
Yeah, I think
this is what's happening.
I think if they can, like, if you get Santander and this team becomes like a playoff team, I don't know why Kyle Tucker would leave. I mean, where else you want to go?
That's true. And then, another Yankee deal. Completely forgot about it. Devin Williams, New York Yankee.
There you go. That was a good trade.
For Nestor Cortez and Caleb Durbin. They were hyping up Caleb Durbin. This is, honestly, Hall of Fame gaslighting attempt from the Yankees here. Thinking Caleb Durbin was going to be our opening day second baseman.
The way you do it. You have to gaslight teams. This is what we're doing with Brett Beatty
again,
right now.
It feels like it's a move that they had to make. I feel like Durbin just had to be a part of that deal. And Durbin's going to be a good player. But again, I feel that they tried it with Volpe last year or 2 years ago now, where they were going to try to make a playoff push with this young guy. You just cannot be relying on young guys to be a part of playoff pushes. I'm sorry, but you can't. And I'm not saying that Volpe was the direct reason why we didn't make the playoffs in 23.
But I know what you're saying. But
you just can't be trying to make a playoff push, especially now that, like, basically you're kind of saying, like, these next 2 years are kind of like last dance.
Well,
so
this is why baseball to me is so crazy when you look at these trades, because you can, I mean, Lindor's a perfect example. Like, look, you give up all these young guys to get an all-star, and look, none of them pan out. So, like, what's, you know, like, I mean, Jimenez is fine. But,
and now he's on the Blue Jays. I got to worry about him now.
Exactly. But he's not even on the team anymore. So it's like, you know, you're taking a big risk taking on these younger guys with these trades. So for me, when you're getting an all-star and you're giving up prospects, it doesn't matter to me. Like, it doesn't. Like, it really doesn't.
Prospects mean nothing.
Nothing. Unless they're like a shoe-in, like, you're like, oh my God, this is like, oh, like, this is the guy. They're like, all right, maybe, but I don't know.
And again, I feel like they're already kind of relying on a young guy with Dominguez. I don't think you want to be relying on two young guys right now.
Nope, nope, nope.
You do not. You don't want to be doing that. And then Yankees things, they were in on Tucker. That is a court that,
I also saw something about the Bellinger deal potentially was in the Tucker trade, but from what he said about the Houston Astros organization publicly during their scandal, they had zero interest in taking him on.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised that Tucker didn't get traded to the Yankees. Why would they trade him to an AL team? Why? Yeah. Like, why would they ever do that?
Yeah.
And then apparently Astros wanted Luis Gil. Yankees said no. Did not want any part of Luis Gil being in that deal, which I kind of get. I appreciate that. I mean, rating rookie of the year, you kind of don't want a Glaber situation.
No. Well, because Glaber was... Where's he going? Does he get signed yet?
Nope. I think he goes to Seattle.
Play. He's an angel.
Oh my God. Honestly?
It makes sense. Sure.
It would make... It makes a lot of sense. All right, let's go to hockey. The Rangers are a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading a tweet right now. I'm just Michael Kay's going on Don and Rosenberg's show to talk about Bellinger. Like, this makes Don Hahn and Rosenberg. It's just a good trio.
It's I don't know. I don't even know what moves you make. I don't know where this stems from. I think you fire the head coach.
Well,
I heard
so there was a rumor, and now this is just it was according to someone's podcast, and I'm blanking on what his name is. According to Steve Dangle, I've never seen this guy in my life, so this definitely means something.
Have you ever heard of Steve Dangle?
No, I've never heard.
Oh my, he's a huge Toronto Maple Leafs fan. He's like a TSN guy.
Does he have sources?
Yeah, no. He's reliable. He does like shows with TSN and live streams and stuff.
Okay. That Trouba and Gaudreau were gone, but were furious over Kreider's name being out there. And Steve Dangle also wonders how the players get this message all the way up to Dolan. Again, it doesn't really seem true. And then Johnny Lazarus, a friend of a friend, said that this is 100% false, and he'll be addressing it tomorrow morning on his show.
I'm starting to believe that it's not. I think that when you make these moves, like a captain, a Barkley, like a captain, when you're threatening to waive him if he doesn't waive a no-move clause.
Even if it is true, like, come the fuck on. Obviously. It's a business.
Obviously, but the thing with my is you want to keep your team happy, right? And if you're not happy with the front office, you're not going to play well. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. The Jets, the Giants, whatever. I mean,
yeah,
it's
just funny to me how they're just like,
I feel like Drury's kind of losing it.
I mean, he's doing his job,
but that's
he's moving big contracts
exactly,
which players
he's doing a.
He's moving players that have big contracts that don't deserve that
he's
money.
He's doing a fantastic job front office-wise, player relationship-wise. They're not handling the best with some of these situations. And it is a business. I understand. And I agree with you 100%. This is part of the business. You got to just deal with it. But the egos you have in some of those locker rooms, the guy with Trouba coming out and saying statements like this. Obviously, you see Kako now. He's just upset with getting healthy scratched. I mean, it's like a trickle-down effect, you know? Like one guy out, one guy out, one guy out. If they start winning games, all of this goes away. All of this goes away.
Enough is enough. Start holding some fucking accountability here.
Yeah.
Like, we've gone through coach after coach after coach with the same fucking core, and it's a disaster. And now we're having guys like Capo Caco, who I can name at least half a dozen players
no business
that are bigger
out.
Issues than Capo Caco. He was told he needs to do something.
Yeah, healthy scratch.
Don't make his advantage out to do something.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
He came out and says, you're picking on the younger guy because it's easier. And yeah, but it's you have to go off the big... this is what a good head coach does, right? You've seen it with guys like Boudreaux with Ovechkin. I mean, you call out the top dogs to start doing more, and the younger guys, the little guys, they start reacting to it. Like, oh, well, if he's got to do more, I got to do more. You can't just start calling guys out. Obviously, I understand. He was a number 2 overall pick. I know you want more production out of him, right? It is ridiculous. What it is. But you can't. Yeah, I mean, it can't.
I know, but like,
he hasn't been bad.
It can't happen. And so he hasn't been bad. Like, that's the thing. Like, why do you
who's playing over him?
Basically, Rodzinski, rewarding. You're basically rewarding mediocrity playing guys like Zibanejad and Kreider.
Well, you're screwed with Zibanejad. Every report that comes out about him says he's a balloon head. He can't deal with the media pressure, and no one wants him. And you got him for $7 million, $7.8 million a year. I don't know where you can't move that contract unless you retain salary. But who are you going to get? I mean, he's a big name guy. It's who you go after and get. I don't know. They're in a weird spot right now.
They
have a lot of cap to work with,
and they do have cap to work with. But I think is it too late to make a big move? I feel like they're getting bad at the wrong time. Because no one wants to move big players right now at this time of year.
Yeah.
It's not even Christmas.
And no. Yeah, I mean, you would like to be in a better situation going into Christmas and then, obviously January, trade deadline, February, all-star break, whatever. You want to be in a good spot at all those big, break moment points. But
yeah,
I think the Four Nations tournament might help him just take a step back when we get to that point. Maybe
that might, but like, I just don't see it. I just don't see anything with this team right now. And it's hard to believe that just 6 months ago, we were basically saying like...
But you know what? They have the same issues the Islanders have right now. Is they're so fucking sloppy. They have no D-zone coverage. Like, they're letting so many odd man rushes happen.
Ryan Langren needs to go. There's a lot of guys that needs to go. It starts with him. Honestly, it starts with Zibanejad too. Like, it's just a disaster.
Yeah. And it would be, it'd be a better situation if you could play the injury card, but you're not hurt.
Yeah, no, Panarin is. He's not playing tonight.
He's day-to-day.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, he needs to do something.
It's just, what are you going
to... Other people need to do something, too.
You can't pick on one...
Again, you're just rewarding mediocrity at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
We could flip to the Isles side of things. Barzal comes back. Great. Bo Horvat's now hurt. So now we got another guy injury. Shout out Mike Riley, who had heart surgery, 2 months ago. He's skating again. Crazy. Isles lose to Chicago last game. Stan, I don't know if you watched or heard what happened in that game. It was, I mean, how do you let up a goal with 58 seconds left to lose, especially a team like Chicago? I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was bad. That was very bad. I'm looking at all the texts that everyone's excited about Bellinger. I'm like,
I wouldn't be.
Paying him $25 million.
You got to show me something first, then I'll get excited.
Yeah, he needs to show me something. I don't know. All right. Moving on.
Well, let me ask you one question. One more question. After, Igor signs that huge deal, you got to see some more out of him, right? I know he hasn't been bad per se, but he used to steal you games and see maybe something.
I feel like the play has just been so bad that he just can't steal us games anymore.
All right. Yeah. That's fair. I mean, that's what Sorokin's at
right now.
We're
doing what we do best, and that's waste goalies potential forever.
Been there.
I don't know. That's a lot.
That's
why it's a fleece.
Shout out quick to the NBA. I just want to say,
NBA Cup tonight.
Knicks and Cavs are doing pretty all right. So, 23-4. Thank God I didn't go to that Nets Cavs game yesterday.
Early.
That was a joke.
It's too early. It's way too early to tell right now. I'm just sort of.
But I mean,
way too early to tell.
Cavs win 10 more games. They pretty much clinch the playoffs. So
that is true. That is true. All right. Moving on. What I saw.
Did I see?
What do you think? What are we thinking here? I did. Went to Manhattanville.
Oh,
saw
nice.
Jack play.
Nice.
I have some. I'm good. I'm gonna.
I talk with Terrence. I know. You know what? I'd love to have him on to pick his brain, but I got to talk to this head coach because I don't know. I don't think he knows what the hell he's doing.
Let's call Jack. Let's call Jack right now.
I don't think. Well, no, you can't put him on the spot. You can't do that.
No comment about Sleepy Chris.
All I gotta say is, if you want to win basketball games in the 21st century, you have to shoot the ball. So,
yeah, there's no such thing as a pass first basketball team.
You look for you look for open shots. You don't
disgusting.
Look. You don't
it's
look
disgusting.
For a layup anymore. It just doesn't work.
You don't look for again. Like, I don't know. Jack Scanlon hit a three, and that's a world that I want to live in where Jack Scanlon's hitting threes.
He should be in the corner catching and shooting every game. I don't
not being a glue guy.
It doesn't make sense. And this is we'll just run down this real quick. So now we're just talking basketball here, and this has been
talking hoops.
Yeah, I've been following their stats all year, and these games that they've won. Trust me, I've peeped. I've looked at some of these scheduled games.
I've peeped.
They've had some...
Hire us.
Yeah, they've had...
That's basically what we're saying right now.
They've had some...
I would like to officially announce that me and Tim are throwing our hats into the ring for a possible Manhattanville Valiant basketball opening.
Please.
Please.
I've played basketball at Scans. I've been told by... I have a good basketball IQ, all right? I sucked at hoops when I grew up, but I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing out there.
Yeah.
They don't look for... You gotta take threes. You have to shoot the three ball. I don't care. You can say all you want. You can say, oh, it's born... This is college basketball. You have to shoot the three nowadays. And they don't. They don't shoot threes.
They don't shoot threes.
And space the floor. They would benefit so much from running an just like a
five out
and then a modified 2-3 zone. They don't run the modified 2-3 is what Cleveland runs and it works perfectly fine.
I hope they see this. I hope they all see this.
I could draw it up for you right now if I had a piece of paper how a modified 2-3 zone works. So you got the board?
I can't find it. Well, oh wait, is it? I can't find it right now.
You know, maybe I'll draw it up for the next episode. But I'm telling you, you run a modified 2-3. You run two guys. You got two guys up top, two down low. Once they break in, the center guy in the middle slides up. If I had, all right, here, ready? Boom, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. They're working around the top. You keep swinging, pressure, pressure. Once they get in, center guy jumps up.
Oh my God, I'm so stupid. It was like right in front of me. I got it right here. I have the board right
perfect,
here.
Perfect, perfect. Center guy jumps up, takes the guy that somewhat got cut in the lane. You have either help on either side, and then from the top, you slide down. You take away the shooters on the corner because they can't go back up top with it. It's just a shifting...
This marker has completely gone to shit.
It's you're shifting... You know exactly what I'm talking about. A modified 2-3.
I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm
fully aware of what you're talking about.
But yeah, it's disgusting what has happened to our darling basketball players of Pearl River, New York.
I don't know. I feel bad. It's none of their fault. It's just, and I keep calling it piss poor head coaching. It's what it is.
It's bad coaching.
It's what it is.
It's bad coaching.
Yeah.
I hope they see this.
I hope so too.
I hope they do.
You know why? I hope this, because this is the same way that high school basketball is played, where it's like pass first. No, I'm sick of this.
No, it's
now.
Not. You're looking to score the ball in college basketball.
Thank you.
You're looking to score
Thank
more
you.
Points than the other team.
Thank you. Because this is not, you have a step up. You have your guys. You have the top guys that you recruited to come play for you. And you let them play. Let them shoot the ball.
You're not recruiting a guy to be like, okay, yeah, like I can turn him into this. No, you're not.
You want to know why?
Coach to your player's strengths, you idiot.
You want
to
know why teams like Cleveland,
you bald asshole.
You want to know why teams like Cleveland, like Boston, like the Knicks are so good in basketball with their whole lineup depth wise is because they get everyone involved early and they get them shooting early. You have to take jump shots to get into a game. You cannot take your first. Like 3-point attempt in the second quarter. That's not going to work. That's not, if you're a starter, that's not going to work. And if you're a shooting guard, small forward, you have to shoot the ball. You have to get a rhythm, a tempo. You have to get into the game. And that's just how it works. That's how basketball works.
Yeah. So that's how the sport works.
I don't know.
That works. I don't know.
There you go. Ring. I'm in the ring for that. I want that job.
We're in the ring.
I want that job.
I'll be the head. And then Tim will
be the assistant. I love it. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love it.
I'll apply. Where do I sign up?
I would love to throw my hat in that ring.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna
fill out an application online.
I'm gonna look this guy up on LinkedIn right now and see what his qualifications are.
Yeah,
to be a college basketball coach. And
it's common sense. It really is. And you got shooters. They have shooters. They have guys that can shoot the ball. Like, and if you're worried so much about not getting offensive rebounds, then work on 3-point shooting. There won't be any.
Maybe play a big man for once.
You have a
6'7" freshman who's built like an offensive lineman.
It just doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't you? Why would not be your starting center?
I think he's a defensive liability, but come on.
Not if you run a modified. Not if you run a modified 2-3 zone. He's not a defensive liability. That's what I'm trying to put up. That's the point I'm trying to make, Stan. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because if he is the anchor, the center of that modified 2-3. He rotates. If he's the anchor guy, then you don't have any defensive liability. You don't. You don't. So I'll leave it at that.
He was a, and there's some college. I'm not a fan. What does he qualify as? Like, what are his qualifications?
It's a joke. That's what it is.
Let's see. I'm going to read off some of his bio here and 72-40 record. Okay. Let's see. I don't know. I just think he's a COVID merchant. I just think he's a COVID merchant right now. COVID merchant. Most recent. Oh my God. Oh, we can get this job.
Easy.
We can get this job.
Easy.
We could easily get. Most recently served as an AAU coach.
I got it. I have this in the bag.
We win. We got this job.
And practice. On. And the thing about practice too is you have to incorporate.
You don't want to overwork them.
No, and you have
that's
to.
What, that's what we will do for this program.
You have to incorporate game like scenarios. All right, it's all about situational basketball. Okay, like. Work, it's movement, it's everything. It's movement.
I think I'm a
open
good
shots.
X's and O's guy, but oh my God, I would not know how to run a practice.
I got that in the bag. I know exactly what I'm doing. My dad used to coach CYO. I got this.
We got this. All right. You're what I saw. This turned into a fucking rant.
That's what I saw was piss poor head coaching.
Wow. Disgusting. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Unbelievable. Should we do a Christmas special?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, in-person episode, Christmas sweaters, see what happens.
Sure. Just get hammered. Why not? Talk sports.
See you probably Monday, because then Tuesday, a week from today, is Christmas Eve. Yeah, Monday.
We could do a drinking Christmas special.
Yes. Glorious. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Be sure
beers
to follow us on...
25 beers for the 25 days of Christmas.
61 beers for the 161 episodes.
I wouldn't even make it.
To wrap it up, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Be sure to like this video on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube. Leave a comment on our YouTube videos. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. Enjoy this week of football, people.
Big week.
Who knows? By next week, we could have head coaching jobs.
That would be crazy.
Only if we believe.
My God.
Peace out.